Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Day on the Job program mentors engineering students with tour of Ellen Noel renovations. Engineering students from the University of Texas Permian Basin's STEM Academy were given a first-hand look at the construction going on at the Ellen Noel Art Museum Wednesday. Currently, the museum is undergoing its capital enhancement project. The event was a part of the Day on the Job program that mentors engineering students through a facilities tour and interaction with representatives from Park Hill and Lee Lewis Construction. Students were able to get up close and personal experience on the renovations that is occurring at the museum and had opportunities to engage with professional engineers. Today we did a facilities tour with UTPB STEM Academy students. Ellen Noel, Art Museum Director of Marketing and Development, John Montgomery said, "This was basically opening up our facilities so that the engineering students can ask questions to our contractors and engineers about the renovation that's happening at the Ellen Noel. We're in the first phase where we've broken ground and taken walls down, and we're getting everything cleaned up. We're moving on to the next part of the construction. The project is expected to be finished by either late 2025 or early 2026. We're super excited because not only will this make the museum look more attractive, but it's going to be a museum where we're increasing our capacity to provide education programming and exhibitions," Montgomery said. "Education is a paramount importance to us here, so this is going to help our facilities with more educational opportunities." Montgomery said that there were a lot of questions from the students on Wednesday about what it takes to make a project such as this from idea to creation. "These students have grown up in Odessa and have come to the museum in their lifetime," Montgomery said. "Some of the questions they had was how the gallery spacing is changing. In their heads, they're able to compare what they've seen in the past to what's coming in the future." Park Hill is a multidisciplinary firm that provides comprehensive architectural and engineering design services for projects in government, commercial, and institutional sectors. Project architect and principal with Park Hill, R.J. Lopez, talked more about the plans at the museum. "The previous museum was about 20,000 square foot, and we're adding 12,000 square feet, so it'll be about 32,000 square feet when we're done," Lopez said. "For him, it's been a privilege to work on this project. It's every architect's dream to work on an art museum, especially one that is pushing the boundaries and try to serve the community a better museum than what we've had before," Lopez said. "It's been inspirational and a wonderful experience." Pfluger grills EPA head before committee. Reagan pleads ignorance of air monitor's non-attainment rules. An interview turned testy that Congressman August Pfluger conducted on U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Reagan during a Wednesday hearing on the House Energy and Commerce Committee in Washington. Pfluger, a San Angelo Republican who represents the Permian Basin, began by asking, "Mr. Reagan, do you intend to place the Permian Basin into a status of non-attainment regarding ozone?" Reagan replied, "We're going to continue to work with both Texas and New Mexico to manage this process." Pfluger, "Are you aware that there are only 3 monitors in the entire Permian Basin, and do you know where these monitors are?" Reagan, "I'm sorry?" Pfluger, "Are you aware that there are only 3 monitors, and do you know where these monitors are?" Reagan, "I presently don't know what the monitors are, but my staff does." Pfluger, "They're in New Mexico. Do you know how big the Permian Basin is?" Reagan, I have an idea, yes." Pfluger, "Have you been there?" Reagan, "I have not." Pfluger, "I want to commend Dr. Nance for coming. Do you make the decision on non-attainment?" Reagan, "I'm not quite sure." Pfluger, do you make the decision as the administrator of the EPA? Reagan, no, we have a program that determines non-attainment. Pfluger, who makes that decision? Reagan, our Office of Air and Radiation makes that decision. Pfluger, are you the principal advisor to the president on air quality? Reagan, I am. Pfluger, so do you make the decision on non-attainment? Reagan, no, I don't personally make the decision on non-attainment. There is a program that evaluates. Pfluger, what I heard today was that you have visited a lot of communities that you're worried about, right? Reagan, I absolutely do, yes. Pfluger, are you worried about the Permian Basin? Reagan, that's why Dr. Nance was there last week. Pfluger, but are you personally worried about it? Reagan, I am, but when I can't make everything everywhere, if all 50 states that my regional administrators go and make these visits that she made with you last week. Pfluger, tell me how much methane intensity has been reduced in the Permian Basin in the last 10 to 15 years. Reagan, I could have staff answer those questions for you. Pfluger, this is a really important area. It's the most important area for energy production in the entire world. Wouldn't you think you would know what the intensity decrease would be over the last 10 to 15 years? Reagan, as the administrator of a really large agency, I don't walk around with these specific facts in my head, but there are people that do. Pfluger, will you commit to come to the Permian Basin before a final decision is reached? Reagan, I can commit that we will have senior management come to the Permian Basin. Pfluger, I think this is why we're having a problem. Do you think the EPA should be authorized by Congress? Reagan, do I think it should? Pfluger, do you think your organization should be authorized by Congress? Reagan, I guess President Nixon in 1970 and Congress in 1970 thought that so. Pfluger, well, we'll ask those questions later. We're talking about the most important secure supply of energy in the entire world, the economic impact, the amount of production, the low price, affordability, clean energy, 32% plus percent is the reduction of methane intensity in the Permian Basin over the last 10 to 15 years, yet at the very same time, we've increased the production fivefold from 1 million barrels a day to 6 million barrels a day. I'm very disappointed that you don't know that, because that is exactly where we're concerned about the overreach of the EPA not having those facts, saying you don't walk around with those facts. You have to walk around with those facts. We're talking about energy security for our entire country here. This is the area that you should come visit. Of all the areas, this is the area that you personally should come visit. Did you review the subpart W final rule? Reagan, the last time you and I talked, you asked me to send Dr. Nance, and now today as a gotcha. You've never invited me before, and now you've invited me. We supplied Dr. Nance to come see you. Pfluger, we're glad you came and visited, but this is the most important energy production area in the entire world, and we ask you as the EPA director to come visit it, because if you're worried about the methane intensity, you should know that we've reduced it by 32%. Reagan, I honored your request of Dr. Nance coming. Pfluger, appreciate it. Did you review the subpart W rule personally yourself? Reagan, of course I was briefed on subpart W. Pfluger, did you review the rule? Reagan, of course I was briefed on it. Did you know how many pages that rule is? Reagan, I don't count pages and rules. Pfluger, we do. Reagan, I mean, you might think that I have time to do that, but I don't have time to count pages and rules. This is such a ridiculous question. Pfluger, I feel like you're getting very defensive of these questions. Reagan, no, I'm not defensive. I just like reasonable questions. Pfluger, let me tell you how many. Reagan, counting pages in rules? Pfluger, I think you should know. You should know how many pages it is. 2,685 pages. Reagan, how many pages are in the Administering Clean Cars Act? We've got lots of rules to count pages. Pfluger, Mr. Chairman, reset the clock for a second. I'm not sure exactly how much time, but I'll wait until we get it back. Thank you. 2,685 pages. You earlier testified today that you've been engaging with small energy companies from day one. Is that true? Reagan, yes. Pfluger, do you know how many companies your agency has actually engaged with? 8 companies. Which small producers have you engaged with regarding methane, ozone, or any of the finalized quad, OB, and C, any of the rules? Reagan, we will get you a complete list. Pfluger, it was given to me that it was 8 companies and not a single one of them small independent producer. Reagan, we will get you a complete list. Pfluger, these are not gotcha questions. This is to demonstrate the fact that I don't believe you personally have taken the time and interest in an area that is producing 43%+ of our country's oil and gas. Reagan, it's a gotcha question asking me to ask my regional administrator to visit you, and we do that, and you're not appreciative of that and say, I haven't gone. Pfluger, by the way, the visit was very much appreciated. You are invited, and I would appreciate your getting back to me. 2,685 pages is way too much to understand anything about how to enforce these rules, how they're going to impact economically. Permian Basin Area Foundation awards $1.3 million in grants. Permian Basin Area Foundation has awarded $1,346,000 to nonprofit organizations serving West Texans during its spring community grant cycle. Grants Officer Raymond Williams stated, "These organizations have a tremendous impact not only on our community as it is now, but in what it will become in the future. The dedication each organization has to their mission is commendable, as is the intentional giving from so many donors that empower us to serve our community. Grants were made to the following organizations: American National Red Cross, Arts Council of Midland, Ballroom Marfa, Big Bend Bluegrass Association, Big Bend Pets, Breaking Bread Ministries, CASA of the Permian Basin Area Incorporated, Centers for Children and Families Incorporated, Communities and Schools of the Permian Basin, Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, Family Promise of Odessa, Grand Champions Humane Society, I-20 Wildlife Preserve, Junior Achievement of the Permian Basin, and Marathon Independent School District. Also, Martha Live Arts, Martin County Historical Museum, Medical Center Health System Foundation, Midland Community Theater Incorporated, Midland Soup Kitchen Ministries, Samaritan Counseling Center, Senior Life Midland, Sunshine House Incorporated, Texas Tribune, the Marfa Studio of Arts, the Salvation Army of Odessa, Young Life Big Bend, and Young Life Midland. The foundation manages 2 community grant cycles each year. Fall grant applications are due on October 1st, 2024. Visit pbaf.org to review application procedures and to apply. OC Trustees Talk Bond Scenarios. As part of its Vision 2030 conversation, the Odessa College Board of Trustees on Wednesday discussed some ideas and scenarios for a potential bond issue to finance completion of the initiative. Julie McMillan, Vice President of RBC Capital Markets, reviewed some scenarios of bond amounts and the impact on taxpayers. President Gregory Williams stressed that the discussion is just exploratory at this point, and the college would want impact from the community. He said meetings could be this summer. McMillan said she, Chief Financial Officer Brandy Hamm, and Vice President of Administrative Services Ken Zartner looked at incremental increases and what that would look like. "We are doing all of this as a way of providing information, informing you all of what might have to do a tax rate impact perspective," McMillan said. She added that the scenarios are built on conservative projections. The taxes would impact the interest and sinking side of the tax rate, which is used for debt service rather than the maintenance and operation side, which is used for day-to-day operations. To raise $100 million is likely to be about a 2-penny impact on the tax rate. If it's $150 million, it would be a 2.5 penny increase. $200 million would be a 5 penny increase. And if they went to $250 million, it would be about a 6.5 penny increase. We also ran a $200 million scenario and a $250 million scenario where we would raise half the money in the first year and then raise the other half about 5 years later. So it's staggered a little bit over time. A $200 million scenario provides for about a 4 penny increase, and the $250 million scenario provides for about a 5 penny increase. If you split the capital projects up and kind of stagger them over time, you may be able to phase the way the tax rate would increase with those projects, McMillan said. It would get you to that tax rate for about 5 years, maybe 10, it just depends, and then they would kind of start to whittle down. This is all based on very modest projections for you all, and then a number of other kind of assumptions that we make about raising money, she added. Based on last year's tax rate, Ham said, the average median home price was $168,000. Ham said for the $150 million, it would be a $33.50 increase to the average homeowner. If they went up to $200 million, it would result in a $55.25 increase to the homeowner. Going up to the $250 million, it would be a $79.99 increase. For the $200 million in two installments, the increase would be $38.75 to the average homeowner. The $250 million in two installments would be a $55 increase. Williams said if they decided to do the split, the numbers would be challenged by inflation. He added that the college would bring together a committee of people who start having conversations about a potential bond and get their input. The deadline is August 19th to decide. Zartner said a lot of work has to be done before any work starts. OC started bidding on the new health sciences building 3 years ago. Williams said one of their goals about a financial standpoint would be to get some other projects, like a pedestrian bridge across University Boulevard, done before they borrow any money. No one wants to pay more for whatever they're buying, but we're also trying to increase the value proposition of Odessa College, where you say, I may not want to pay more for it, but that's a good product, and I'm willing to invest in that service. Yes, I'm willing to invest in that and in our community, Williams said. Board Chair Gary Johnson noted that the college is educating the workforce to earn good wages. Board member Hortensia Del Bosque said, the best voices are the students and recent graduates. Johnson said the board asked the board to think about doubling the homestead exemption for people over 65. Right now, the exemption is $20,000, so that would increase to $40,000 if they use the estimated value by doubling the exemption. If the same tax rate was in place, it would decrease revenue by $340,000. That would save the average homeowner about $35 a year. Trustee Trudy Davis said it always sounds like a nice idea, but then someone else has to take on that burden. I always feel like some sort of we're all in this together. I like the idea that we're all paying taxes, and we're all paying taxes to support the college. When you start exempting people, I know I felt very uncomfortable during the school bond election when they'll say, well, if you're over 65, vote for this. It won't affect you at all. No problem. I think, well, that's okay, but then you're shifting the burden to someone else. And so I was feeling a little uncomfortable with a situation like that where you're saying, well, you can vote for it. It's not going to cost you anything, but it's going to cost somebody. And so that's this $340,000 is going to have to be shifted to someone else. That's the young people who are rearing children. So I think we have to think of it in those terms, Lewis said. In the long term, Lewis said, Williams said Lewis was right. In the short term, he said they could replace those dollars with state funding because OC is getting more funding from the state because it's based on performance and number of graduates. Later on, your point is exactly right, Williams said. Williams said he is always in the mind of exploring possibilities and earning the respect of the community. He added that the college won't do everything that it's considering. We want to get the input from the community before we realize our direction, and then we'll see what the board is interested in. We're in that exploratory stage. Again, as I was saying, we're always thinking about it, and now we're getting to a point where we're starting to focus and refine. The next step would be to include our community to see what they're comfortable with, Williams said. Graduation schedule and other things you should know about upcoming commencements. In the space of 1 week, nearly 2,000 Ector County ISD seniors will walk the stage at graduation and step into the next exciting phase of their lives. ECISD wants students, parents, and guests to enjoy each of the ceremonies, whether in person or via live streaming. Here are the dates, times, and locations of all 6 ECISD graduation ceremonies. May 17th at 6 p.m., OC Techs at Odessa College Sports Center. May 18th, 8 p.m., Odessa Collegiate Academy at Odessa College Sports Center. May 22nd, 7 p.m., GHWB New Tech Odessa at Wagner, Noel PAC. May 23rd, 7 p.m., STEM Academy at Wagner Noel PAC. May 23rd, 8:30 p.m., Permian High School at Ratliff Stadium. May 24th, 8:30 p.m., Odessa High School at Ratliff Stadium. Because the Permian High School and Odessa High School ceremonies are outdoors at Ratliff Stadium, there are some other guidelines for parents, family, and friends to be aware of. First, if bad weather results in one of the ceremonies being postponed, the ceremony will be made up on Saturday, May 25th at 8:30 a.m. If bad weather results in both ceremonies being postponed, one will be made up at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, and the second will be made up at 8:30 on Saturday. Second, there will be 4 entrances and exits. Please see the maps for the traffic pattern and what will be in place for both ceremonies at the stadium. This is important to know to determine your best route to the stadium. Third, all Ratliff Stadium guidelines will be enforced, including the clear bag policy. You can find all those stadium guidelines here on the ECISD website at https://www.ectorcountyisd.org/page/359. Those policies, as well as graduation guidelines, are also included with this release.
Mayo Clinic Minute. Dark skin tones also at risk for melanoma. The myth that people with dark skin are immune to melanoma, a type of skin cancer, has persisted for many years. It's a dangerous misconception that has caused some people not to be diligent about protecting themselves against dangerous ultraviolet UV rays. Dr. Don Davis, a Mayo Clinic dermatologist, says people with darker skin tones need to be vigilant about sun protection. Quote, melanin is the protein component of the skin that gives our skin color, end quote, says Davis. Darker skin tones have more melanin. The pigment protects against sun damage and lowers the risk of skin cancer. Some people with dark complexions think melanin shields them from getting cancer, but Davis says that's a myth. Quote, all patients, including patients who are skin of color, have a risk of melanoma. Children can also have melanoma, end quote, explains Davis. When melanoma develops in people of color, it's often diagnosed at a later stage and is more aggressive. But that could be because skin cancer in people with darker skin may appear in unexposed areas. Quote, under your armpits, in your genital area, under your nails, fingernails, and toenails, and on the palms and soles, end quote, says Davis. Davis says people of color, including children, should wear sunscreen and perform regular skin self-exams. How to reduce the risk of melanoma. The longer you're exposed to the sun, the greater the risk for developing skin cancer. Davis says there are several things people can do to protect their skin. wear sunscreen of at least 30 SPF, perform regular skin self-exams, see a healthcare professional for abnormal growths or warts, wear protective clothing.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.